From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. This past December marked 16 years since President George W. Bush made the following announcement at the White House Rose Garden.
I've just concluded a meeting of my National Security Council. We reviewed what I've discussed with my friend, President Vladimir Putin, over the course of many meetings and many months, and that is the need for America to move beyond the 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty.
Then President Bush made the announcement in the months following the September 11th, 2001 attacks against the World Trade Center and Pentagon. But as you just heard, he had contemplated withdrawal from the treaty long before that.
The 1972 ABM treaty was signed by the United States and the Soviet Union at a much different time in a vastly different world. One of the signatories, the Soviet Union, no longer exists. And neither does the hostility that once led both our countries to keep thousands of nuclear weapons on hair trigger alert pointed at each other.
That context, of course, no longer applies, with the days of moonlight and canoes a distant memory in relations between Moscow and Washington. Instead, we now live in a world where U.S. and NATO troops regularly drill on Russia's borders from the Baltics to the Korean Peninsula. Moscow has repeatedly warned that a response would be forthcoming. On Thursday, its President Vladimir Putin made the following announcement.
Colleagues, we see increased opportunities with the armed forces. Today, we've done a lot to strengthen our army and our navy. Our armed forces are equipped with modern weaponry today. The rate of modern weaponry increased by 3.7 times. We've adopted 300 new models of weaponry, providing our armed forces with 80 new ICBMs, 102 submarine-based ballistic missiles. We've commissioned three new nuclear submarines of the Bray class. 12 ballistic missile regiments have been equipped with Yars missiles. We've increased the number of high-precision long-range missiles by a factor of 12. Aerospace forces, our ground forces, and our navy have significantly increased their capabilities. The entire country, the entire world is familiar today with the names of our newest air defense systems, fighter jets, land-based systems. These are new high-precision weapon systems developed in recent years. Russia's borders, and this is very important, we have a network of radars. We had the system during the Soviet years, but then after the Soviet Union disintegrated, it was lost. Now we were able to restore it. We have now a new command in the Far East. The number of contract soldiers increased by 2.4 times, and we've increased our military units are now manned at over 90%. The waiting period for military housing has been reduced by a factor of 6. And now the most important thing for this section, for defense, I'll talk about our newest systems of strategic weaponry that we have created as our response to the U.S. unilaterally withdrawing from the ABM treaty and deploying this system in the U.S. and also in other countries around the world. I would like to go back to history. In 2000, the United States told us about its plans to withdraw from the ABM Treaty. Russia objected to this categorically. We believed that the treaty, the ABM 1972 treaty, was a cornerstone in the international security architecture. According to this treaty, both sides was entitled to having just one area protected against a missile attack. Russia deployed this system around Moscow and the U.S. around Grand Fox area where they had their missiles. This treaty created an atmosphere of trust between our countries and also protected us against unilateral use of nuclear weapons by one of the two sides. This would make the aggressor vulnerable to a retaliatory strike, so we talked to the Americans, persuading them not to upset the strategic balance, but it didn't help. In 2002, the United States unilaterally withdrew from the ABM Treaty, and for a long time after that, we tried to have a constructive dialogue with the Americans. We suggested working together in this area, and at a certain point, it seemed to me that we could achieve a compromise, but no. All our proposals were rejected. Then we said that in order to ensure our security, we'll have to improve our modern strike capabilities. In response, they said that the United States were not developing missile defense capabilities against Russia. So it's up to you. You can do what you want. We'll just believe that you're not doing this against the United States. Where did this come from? Basically, it's obvious. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, Russia, which they identified with the Soviet Union, this is what they called it in the West, the Soviet Russia, they said, speaking about our national borders. Russia lost 23.8% of its territory, 48.5% of its population, 41% of GDP, 39.4% of its industrial potential, almost half, 44.6% of the defensive capabilities, because the armed forces of the Soviet Union were divided between former Soviet republics. Our modern military equipment was obsolete, and the armed forces were in pitiful conditions. We had a civil war going on in the Caucasus, and our leading uranium enrichment facilities had U.S. inspectors working there. And at a certain point, it was a big question whether we will be able to develop strategic weaponry at all, whether some even asked whether Russia was capable of servicing nuclear weapons we inherited from the Soviet Union. Russia was deep in debt and unable to fund its armed forces, and our partners probably believed that the resurgence of the economy and the defense sector of the economy of our country would be impossible in the near future. And thus, there was no need to take Russia's views into consideration. They decided that they should push forward and achieve unilateral dominance so they can dictate their will in all the other areas as well. This position, this kind of logic, is understandable based on the reality we had back then. It's our own fault. After the United States withdrew from the ABM Treaty for 15 years, we did our best to bring the Americans back to these discussions about strategic stability, and we were able to achieve a few things. We've signed the New START Treaty in 2010 between Russia and the United States on further reductions of strategic offensive arms. Yet, Yet when implementing these plans to build the global missile defense systems, all the agreements that we achieved as a part of the New START treaty were undermined and devalued, because as the number of nuclear charges gets reduced, one party, namely the United States, increases the number of interceptor missiles, improve their characteristics, create new deployment areas for their interceptor missiles, and eventually, if we do nothing, Russia's nuclear potential will be fully undermined. They will be able to intercept all our ballistic missiles. And in spite of all our protests, the U.S. machine is working at full speed. The conveyor is running full speed. They've deployed missile defense systems in Alaska and California. As a result of NATO eastward expansion, they've set up new two areas in Romania and Poland. The range of interceptor missiles will keep growing. They have plans to deploy such missiles in Japan and South Korea. There is also a sea-based group of five cruisers and 30 destroyers deployed in the areas close to Russia. Without any exaggeration, I can say that they are working on this project at full speed. So what have we done apart from protesting and warning? How did Russia respond to this challenge? Here's what we did. After the United States withdrew from the ABM Treaty unilaterally, we've been working hard to create new promising weaponry systems. And this enabled us to make a big step forward, creating new strategic arms. U.S. global missile defense systems is mainly against ballistic missiles. And ballistic missiles, this is the core of our nuclear deterrent, just like with other nuclear powers. This is why Russia has been developing very modest price-wise, but extremely effective systems to defeat missile defense, and all our ICBMs are equipped with such system now. Also, we have developed a new generation of missiles. Namely, currently, the Defense Ministry works together with the defense companies in the space industry, and they're testing a new missile system that uses a heavy ICBM. We called it Sarmat. This new system will replace the old Voivode system that we had during the Soviet period. And Voivode was considered a highly effective weapon. Our foreign partners even used a different name for it. But Sarmat is a much more powerful system. With a payload of 200 tons, it is hard to be intercepted by missile defense capabilities. The range of this new missile and the number of warheads is higher than with Voivode. Sarmat will be equipped with the hypersonic high-yield systems with capabilities for beating missile defense systems. This new system can be used under any conditions. Voivode had the range of 11,000 kilometers, and with Sarmat, with the new system, there is no range limitation. It can attack any target through the North Pole or through the via the South Pole. This is a powerful weapon, and no missile defense system will be able to withstand it. But even this is not the end. We've developed the new strategic weapons that don't use ballistic trajectory at all, which means that missile defense will be useless against it. This is what I'm going to tell you about now. this new kind of weapon, promising weapon systems that Russia has developed using new, unique technology designed by our engineers. One of such systems is a small, super powerful nuclear energy system that can be deployed in a cruise missile like X-101, a Russian missile, or U.S.-made Tomahawk missile, yet its range will be like 10 times higher, which means there is basically no limit to its range. It's a small missile with unlimited range and unpredictable trajectory that can avoid all intercept barriers, cannot be intercepted by existing or future missile defense systems. Late in 2017, at the central testing ground of the Russian Federation, we had a successful test launch of this newest cruise missile with the nuclear power energy unit. And it achieved altitude. So now, after the successful test, we can start manufacturing this new kind of weapon, a strategic nuclear weapon system with a missile carrying a nuclear power energy unit. As you understand, this is unheard of, and nobody else has such a system in the world. They may create something similar in the future, but by that time, our guys will come up with new ideas as well. Next, we all know that currently the whole world works actively on drones. We have unmanned submarines that move at ultra-deep levels intercontinentally with a speed that is much, much higher than the speed of modern submarines, torpedoes, and even the fastest surface ships. This is just fantastic.
Они обладают низкой шумностью, высокой маневренностью и практически неуязвимы для противника.
Средства, которые могут им противостоять,
на сегодняшний день в мире
просто не существует. Беспилотные подводные аппараты могут быть оснащены как обычными, так и ядерными боеприпасами. Subsurface vehicles. They can be equipped with conventional or nuclear weapons, attacking coastal defenses and infrastructure facilities. In December 2017, we completed testing this new innovative nuclear propulsion system for this unmanned subsurface vehicle. It's extremely small and at the same
при объеме в 100 раз меньше, чем у установок современных атомных подводных лодок, имеет в 200 раз меньше времени выхода на боевой режим.
Takes 200 times less time to get to the launch site. This enabled us to develop new nuclear systems equipped with the new nuclear charges. By the way,
кстати, условные наименования этих двух новых
the names for these two new systems.
Стратегическое оружие России.
Of nuclear weaponry.
Крылатые ракеты глобальной дальности и беспилотного подводного аппарата пока не выбраны. Ждем предложений на сайте Министерства обороны.
We don't have the names for them yet, so you can send in your proposals to the website of the Defense Ministry.
Хорошо известно, что страна с высоким уровнем научного потенциала и передовыми технологиями страны активно разрабатывают так называемое гиперзвуковое оружие. Сверхзвуковая скорость измеряется, как известно, махами в честь австрийского ученого Эрнста Маха, который занимался исследованиями в этой области. Один мах 1062 километра на высоте в час, на высоте 11 километров. Одна скорость звука, один мах. От 1 до 5 сверхзвук, от 5 больше гиперзвук. Обладание таким оружием, безусловно, дает серьезные преимущества в сфере вооруженной борьбы. Его мощь
These weapons are extremely powerful. Military experts say this is the future, and this makes invulnerable interceptor missiles are not able to catch up with it.
Hypersonic missiles.
This is why the world's leading armies want to have this weapon system. Friends, Russia now has such a weapon.
Уже есть. Важнейшим этапом разработки современных систем вооружений стало создание высокоточного гиперзвукового авиационно-ракетного комплекса. Также, как вы уже поняли, наверняка не имеющего мировых аналогов. Его испытания успешно завершены. И более того, с 1 декабря прошлого года комплекс приступил к несению опытно-боевого дежурства на аэродромах Южного военного округа. Уникальные летно-технические характеристики высокоскоростного самолета-носителя позволяют доставлять ракету в точку сброса за считанные минуты. При этом ракета, летящая с гиперзвуковой скоростью, превышающая скорость звука в 10 раз, еще и осуществляет маневрирование на всех участках траектории полета, что позволяет ей также гарантированно преодолевать все существующие и, я думаю, перспективные системы противовоздушной и противоракетной обороны, доставляя к цели на дальность более 2000 километров ядерные и обычные боезаряды. Мы назвали эту систему
«Кинжал».
Но и это еще не все, о чем я скажу сегодня. Настоящим технологическим прорывом является создание перспективного ракетного комплекса стратегического назначения с принципиально новым боевым оснащением, планирующим крылатым блоком, испытания которого также успешно Еще раз повторю, что мы неоднократно говорили нашим американским и европейским партнерам о том, что будем предпринимать необходимые меры для нейтрализации угроз, которые возникают для нас в связи с развертыванием глобальной
прошлой. Говорили об этом и в ходе переговоров, и даже публично.
Еще в 2004 году, после учения стратегических ядерных сил, в ходе которых впервые была испытана система, о которой я сейчас говорю, на встрече с прессой я сказал, неловко себя цитировать, но просто сегодня это будет.
It would be appropriate today. I said
that as the military potential of our other countries grows qualitatively and quantitatively, Russia needs to have a new generation of weapons. So
I'm pleased to inform you
that
after certain experiments we staged during these military exercises, which were successful, we are sure
войск стратегического назначения будут поставлены новейшие технические комплексы, которые в состоянии поражать цели на межконтинентальной глубине с гиперзвуковой скоростью и высокой точностью, с возможностью глубокого маневра как по высоте, так и по курсу. Должен сказать, что в том, что только что прозвучало, каждое слово имеет значение. Таких систем вооружения в данный момент нет ни у одной страны мира. Конец цитаты. Конечно, каждое слово имеет значение, потому что речь шла именно о возможности обхода рубежей перехода. Для чего мы это все делали? Для чего мы это говорили? Мы не делали, как видите, никакой тайны из наших планов, а говорили об этом открыто, и для того, чтобы прежде всего побудить наших партнеров переговоров. Повторяю, это был 2004 год.
This was in 2004, like I said, amazing, but despite of all the difficulties that we faced over the years, economic and financial problems, problems with our defense industry, with our armed forces, Russia remained major nuclear power, but nobody wanted to talk to us seriously. They kept ignoring us. Nobody listened to us. So listen to us now. Thank you.
Итак, существующих типов боевого оснащения эта система отличается способностью
совершать полеты в плотных
слоях атмосферы на межконтинентальную дальность на гиперзвуковой скорости, превышающей число Маха более чем в 20 раз. При движении к цели планирующий крылатый блок, как я и говорил, в 2004 году осуществляет глубокое маневрирование, как боковое, причем на несколько тысяч километров, так и по высоте. Это делает его абсолютно неуязвимым. Altitude-wise, which makes it completely invulnerable for any missile defense systems. It uses new composite materials, which resolves the problem of controlled long-range flight
in plasma conditions. It goes like a meteorite towards its target, like a fireball.
Температура на поверхности изделия достигает 1600
temperature on the surface of this weapon reaches 2,000 degrees centigrade, and at the same time, it is still completely under control of the operator.
В силу понятных причин, мы не можем сегодня показать истинный облик, истинный внешний вид. Даже это сегодня имеет значение, серьезное значение. Думаю, всем это понятно. Но уверяю вас, все это есть в наличии и хорошо работает. Более того, предприятия промышленности России приступили к серийному производству этой системы. Этого еще одного нового вида стратегического оружия России. Мы назвали его «Авангард».
We gave this new system the name of Avangard.
Мы хорошо знаем и о том, что ряд государств работает на создание перспективного оружия на новых физических принципах. Есть все основания полагать, что и здесь мы.
And во всяком even случае, here, we are one step ahead of everybody else,
at least in the key areas. We have achieved significant results
in developing laser weapons.
And
this is not just some theory, some plans, and that's just the beginning stages of production. Last year, we started equipping our military units with combat laser systems. I won't go into details,
because it would
be premature, but specialists know what I'm talking about. Such systems significantly augment Russia's military capabilities. For those interested in military systems, I would suggest
попросил бы, чтобы они предложили название и этой новой
техники. Send in your proposals for a name for this new system.
Конечно, мы еще будем заниматься доводкой, развитием, совершенствованием наших новейших систем оружия. И, разумеется, я сегодня сказал далеко не обо всех наших достижениях и перспективных разработках, но на сегодня достаточно.
Особенно подчеркну.
Особо. I would like to emphasize one thing in particular.
These systems that we have developed and continue to develop, these new strategic arms, is not something we just inherited from the Soviet Union. Of course, we used some of the ideas that our predecessors developed during the Soviet period. But basically, all the things I told you about today are newest developments, things that we designed in just recent years. We had dozens of design bureaus and research centers working on these things quietly, calmly, without making a show. They worked hard for a number of years on these projects, thousands of people. They all, just like our servicemen,
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.